Hi, welcome to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Paul Enos with the Nevada Motor Transport Association. Today, we're very fortunate to have one of Northern Nevada's own foreign policy experts, General Ty Cobb, and then a very exciting pundit panel, Amy Curtis Weber, Allison Galdin, and Steve Robinson. Stay tuned.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Resort at Red Hawk and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Be here, not at divorce court. I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York. We protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children. We only seek men as clients and negotiate before going to court. Divorce is tough. I've been there, and I share my daughter with my ex-husband. Sarah, Raina, and I can help you.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
For more than a decade, the Southern Nevada Water Authority has been helping the community embrace conservation as a way of life. That includes replacing more than 50 million square feet of grass with water-smart landscaping. During the worst drought on record, watering restrictions and tough landscaping codes have reduced the community's water use by billions of gallons, even as thousands of new residents were moving into Nevada. That's smart water management, and that's our promise to Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we turn our attention to foreign affairs, and we welcome to the program Ty Cobb, former special advisor to President Ronald Reagan.
Morning.
Good morning. Well, in less than 30 days now, we're going to have a whole new administration, and President-elect Obama has announced his key cabinet members. What do you think of the national security team that he's put together?
Very impressed. It's a good team. I would say the new cabinet so far has been marked by competence, individuals with extraordinarily talented records. I think it reflects a great degree of diversity. It's moderately bipartisan. Bob Gates staying on, and I think Ray Solis at Labor, but he's probably not a real Republican. Hillary Clinton's going to be a strong Secretary of State. General Jack Jones going to be, a very efficient national security advisor. So on the whole, I'm very impressed with the appointments.
You know, and it's very interesting because, you know, during the campaign, Obama was nailed as the most liberal senator. And, you know, it's been amazing to see conservatives such as yourself across the board. I don't think I've heard anybody really say anything negative about Hillary Clinton, about the selections. I find that quite fascinating.
Well, the ones that have complained are the liberals, and they feel that Obama has turned his back on them. They did manage, I think, to sabotage John Brennan as being head of the Central Intelligence Agency. The liberal blog community feels good about that. But by and large, it's a very centrist organization. Some would say elitist. I think 22 of the first 35 appointments all had advanced degrees from Ivy League universities or Stanford. So it's going to be a very brainy administration, maybe some would say, best and the brightest.
Is one of the problems with getting somebody to be the head of the CIA is that a lot of people in the intelligence community are concerned about Obama's stand on things like torture, for example?
I don't think so much on torture, but they're certainly about the Patriot Act and wiretapping. In the primaries, he certainly ran on a platform of eliminating Guantanamo, probably completely redoing the Patriot Act and eliminating the ability to wiretap conversations with individuals abroad who are suspected to be terrorists.
As he takes office in January, we see things increasingly escalate in Afghanistan and Pakistan and India with the latest attack in India. What do you think his first priority should be as the new president?
Well, the first priority is the economy, and everything is going to take a second place. We're in a very deep recession, and there doesn't seem to be a turnaround in the near future. With respect to foreign affairs, the handling of the promised withdrawal from Iraq will be high on the agenda. The generals have already said there's some disagreement over the timeline. I think that can be worked out, but Obama clearly wants to withdraw as many of the American combat forces as he can from Iraq. There is a consensus that the war in Afghanistan has gone downhill. We're sliding into perhaps a quagmire, and there is a desire to solve that problem, and the solution seems to be let's rush more and more troops, and there may be another 20,000.
There's been quite a bit of controversy about that, and even some say up to 30,000 more troops.
Right.
Is that really going to get at the root of the problem? We have the majority of their economy based on drug trade. How is the United States going to get in and deal with that kind of a situation with that country?
I share that skepticism. Afghanistan is a country that's never really known central rule. There have been several foreign powers, from the Brits to the Soviets, going back to Alexander's days. Nobody's ever really brought Afghanistan together as a cohesive state. It's really has a weak central government. It's rift with corruption. The warlords, particularly in the Pakistan area, have a lot of leeway. The opium trade, drug trade, is a key aspect of the economy. And there are terrorists from various organizations, from Al-Qaeda to the Taliban to other jihadist groups that we hope to root out. I would have to say that there is some indication that Afghanistan could be another Vietnam for Obama.
Well, there are some that argue that the United States trying to get in deal with the drug trade is just a false trail for the United States, that really the European government should deal, since that's where the drugs, their market from Afghanistan drugs is to Europe and Russia, that they should deal with that issue, and the United States should keep the eye on the ball. Do you agree with that assessment?
I think the NATO contingent there, and after all, this is a UN-sanctioned NATO operation, and I think the contribution from our fellow allies in NATO countries, other than Britain and Canada and I think the Netherlands, has been very minimal. And we certainly need more support. And very realistically, that they could turn their attention to issues relating more to the economy. I don't know what you do about the drug trade. It is so important to the economy of that country.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Ty Cobb. Always fascinating right after this.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Discover a place where entrees are served free of distractions. Wine Spectator has.
Item 29 was held, so that brings us to item 30, which is related to 31 and 32 and can be heard together if the commission wishes.
Items 30, 31, and 32 have been called forward. Is there any discussion on those items from the commission?
Yeah. Hey, Roy. It'd really mean a lot to me if we could put to motion item 30. That's my favorite, personal favorite.
There's an easier way inside local politics. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
Who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
If you're looking for real craftsmanship in metal fabrication, Deluxe Welding will creatively support your design. They take welding to an art form. Custom fabrication, beams and columns, railings, truss brackets, steel and precast concrete stairs. They can come to your location or provide you with the material for your project. Steel, stainless steel, and aluminum. See Don and Matt's work at DeluxeWelding.com. If it's made of metal, they'll make it magnificent.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with foreign affairs expert Ty Cobb, who is a former special advisor to President Ronald Reagan. Major story in the New York Times today as we record this, even before taking office, Hillary Rodham Clinton is seeking to build a more powerful State Department with a bigger budget, high-profile special envoys to trouble spots, and an expanded role in dealing with global economic issues at this time of crisis. She's recruited Jacob Lew and also James Steinberg to be her lieutenants, and other names being mentioned, Richard Holbrooke, Dennis Ross. What are your thoughts on this?
This is going to be very difficult for Obama. I remember in the Reagan administration when General Haig became the Secretary of State, and the first thing he did was come over to the White House with an edict, said, "I'm the vicar of foreign policy. Mr. President, sign this. All foreign policy actions will be run through me." And it just caused the White House staff, Ed Meese and Mike Deaver and Jim Baker, to go, whoa. I think you're going to have something like this here with Hillary, because she really clearly wants to run the foreign affairs portfolio from her office. And she's recruiting not only the one you didn't mention, Sam, is her husband, Bill, who is going to be a giant heavyweight in the background, but people like Jim Steinberg, Dennis Ross, Middle East expert, Dick Holbrooke, extremely powerful individual. I see there's going to be some friction. I'm not sure the Hillary Clinton Secretary of Stateship will last more than a year.
Really? Yeah. Because it would seem that some of the people that she's bringing on board could actually get some stuff done, like perhaps furthering Middle East peace.
Well, Dennis has tried this for 30 years, and with relative degrees of success. He's a fantastic individual, and perhaps having somebody with that special responsibility once again will help. I'm not sure that anybody can solve the Middle East situation, but yeah, you're bringing on an incredible number of talented individuals, which Kissinger called, you know, the team of heavyweights.
Would it not be a great consternation for the Obama administration if it was to blow up and she would be gone after a year?
Absolutely. But I think they have to think that this may be a possibility, or they're going to have to allow the Secretary of State to have a much stronger role than, say, either Secretary Powell or Secretary Rice did.
Don't you think one of the first orders of the day for the Secretary of State is to begin to restore credibility across the world, globally, for the United States, and begin to build that the bonds of trust with our country? And she certainly put the people in that are credible and known that can begin that process.
Well, I'm not sure I would agree with you. I think some of the reasons why there's been frayed relations with, our European allies is a disappointment on our side with the lack of contributions. When there's a crisis in Darfur, you wonder, well, where's the African Union? Where's the Europeans? Why are we always the one to rush in when there's a tsunami crisis that hits Burma, Myanmar? Well, we're trying to get in there, and China will not even assist us to be able to get into that country. So I think it's a two-way street. Clearly, though, the arrogance that was shown by the previous this administration has caused us to lose some friends. I'm not exactly sure what Secretary Clinton will do differently to restore that trust.
I mean, it was an interesting editorial on Sunday in the New York Times that listed off a whole list of equipment and weaponry that they say that we should stop doing, like the Osprey weaponry and ships,
right,
etc., that are for wars that we're not fighting anymore. What were your thoughts on that?
And here's the New York Times, suddenly a defense expert on issues that people debated. The V-22 Osprey could be a very, it's a controversial V-STOL aircraft, but it just recently performed emissions in Africa, and the Africans really loved the performance that it did. The F-22 is controversial, but you know, you're at the point now, if you stop that production line, then the unit cost goes way up. And the idea of refurbishing the F-16s, I think you really have to, it's the F-18s that it replaces. But Secretary Gates has been saying the same thing. You know, we have got to stop these big ticket items because we can probably win in any major confrontation with any known ally. The wars we will be conducting, the conflicts are going to be the lower insurgency, counterinsurgency conflicts like we have in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Now, we talk about wars all the time, but the one that we spend the least amount of time, it appears, talking about is the war along our border with Mexico. Your thoughts on that and what we should be doing about it?
There's tremendous violence in Mexico driven by the drug cartels, who are extremely rich because they are fueled by a $40 billion drug habit in this country. And it's a horrible situation, but we don't need to look any further than this own country here. Our use of drugs is driving $40 billion into Mexico, into the cartels, and they have become so violent and so powerful that President Calderon cannot, it appears, defeat them with his own forces. And they're exercising terror not only as in the past against each other's cartel, but now against the government, against the police, and increasingly against tourists, where you've seen the decapitation in Merida and places like that. It's spread into Guatemala and gang warfare.
Okay, so we only got about 30 seconds here, but we spent billions of dollars on the war on drugs over the years. The appetite increases in the country, not decreases. Doesn't this point towards us at least looking at the legalization and taxation of drugs in this country? That takes away all of the criminal activity around the world, and we could use the money for education and for treatment. Doesn't that make more sense at this point?
I would not be adverse to looking into it. My own feeling is that by legalizing the drugs, you are probably going to increase the habits and the problems that you have related to crime. But I wouldn't be adverse to looking at it. But I don't think that there is any simple solution.
No, but at least you would have money in this country from taxation.
Perhaps.
That would help to mitigate those
Perhaps.
Circumstances.
General McCaffrey, the drug czar, Dick Gamet, others would disagree with you, so you have to take
yes, that. Yes, they would. Certainly, both of those two people. Thank you, as always. Always appreciate your
Happy
insights.
Holidays.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Success at TRI has come from public-private partnerships. We're here at the USA Parkway Extension with Roger Norman, master developer, and Bob Hess, Story County Commissioner. Let's listen in.
Roger, I see you're building some more roadway out here.
Yeah, we're completed 4 miles. We have 4 miles under construction, and we're on our way to Highway 50.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
New Year's Eve.
It's just me and a few friends.
You're going right to the center of Times Square to hear T.I., Ludacris, Katy Perry, and Sir Elton John. New Year's Eve with Carson Daly starts early tonight, 10, 9 Central on NBC.
It's country versus country as the world competes on one stage. Superstars of Dance premieres Sunday 9, 8 Central on NBC.
Attention, all Medicare beneficiaries who need assistance getting around their homes. There is a Medicare benefit that may qualify you for a new power chair or scooter at little to no cost to you. Imagine one scooter or power chair that could improve your mobility and your life. One Medicare benefit that, with private insurance, may entitle you to pay little to nothing to own it. One company that can make it all happen.
Your power chair will be paid in full.
The Scooter Store.
Hi, I'm Dan Weston. We're experts at getting you the scooter or power chair you need. In fact, if we pre-qualify you for Medicare reimbursement and Medicare denies your claim, we'll give you your new power chair or scooter free.
I didn't pay a penny out of pocket for my power chair. With help from the Scooter Store, Medicare and my insurance covered it all.
Call the Scooter Store for free information today.
Call 1-800-461-9487 for free information. That number again is 1-800-461-9487. That's 1-800-461-9487.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to the Power Pundit panel here on Nevada Newsmakers. Last day, 2008, we have Amy Curtis Weber, Steve Robison, and Allison Galdin. Okay, I don't like to do these things, but this is the day where, you know, you can speculate, make predictions for the new year. You know, we have a couple big races that are going to be coming up in 2010. Are we going to know who's going to be running against Harry Reid this time next year?
Harry Reid's going to run against Harry Reid, so far as I'm concerned. I don't think that bastion's going to be, you know, going to be dissolved this time.
Yeah. Brian Krolicki, you think he may get into it, or somebody else, maybe a John Porter, Bob Beers?
Yeah, there'll be people on the other side, but you know, I think Harry Reid's stronghold is still, you know, right there.
Steve,
well, I don't think we'll know 12 months from now.
Well, it's kind of short notice to try to plan a race against an incumbent with, you know, $3 million in the bank with only a year to go.
To raise the money, and that's why I think we may see some minor candidates come out. But it's awfully intimidating to run against Senator Reid's money, position, friends on both sides of the aisle. I think you'll see a strong movement of probably Republicans to reelect Senator Reid. So that's going to be tough.
Allison, what do you see?
I don't think we're going to know who's going to be able to run. In addition to, you know, Senator Reid's reputation and his financing, the Democratic Party built a lot of numbers. And we've changed Washoe County's demographics. We've changed Carson's demographics. So somebody would really have to have started, you know, a couple of years ago, and nobody's really hit that mark yet. So, no.
Okay, now let's go back to a Republican here in our state, a statewide Republican, Governor Gibbons. You know, we've already heard some rumblings of some people running against him. Are we going to have a better picture 12 months from now? Who's going to be running against Jim?
Now that's an interesting race.
I was going to say, yeah.
I think, you know, the Republicans, there are probably a number of interesting candidates chomping at the bit, because I think, quite frankly, Republicans are going to want to put up a new candidate for that job, so to speak, and there are a lot of interesting Democrats on the other side.
So yeah. Let's talk about names, some of the interesting Republicans that we have. Amy, Bob Cashel's talked about getting into the race, Mayor Mike Montandon, anybody else?
Well, Senator Reid's son was mentioned at one point. I don't know if that's going to pan out. We had talked about the speaker in the House, you know, Barbara Buckley. If there was a potential that she might be interested, I think that would be a heck of a primary. That would be a really fascinating race. We're talk about being ready for a change.
Steve? Yeah. Well, if you're talking about Republicans, I think the ones that are in office now, probably Dean Heller comes to mind as a challenger to the governor. But I think what will be telling for the governor is obviously the session coming up, and even though his popularity is obviously low at this time, there'll be a real evaluation after the session. How did he do? How did his people do? And did he get what he wanted? And I don't think we ought to. I don't think I know the answer to that yet. Around June or July, we will.
So this legislative session, there's definitely a possibility for the redemption of Jim Gibbons, who people may be writing off right now. Do you see that happening, Allison?
I don't know if it's redemption of Gibbons, but a year is a long time, and a lot of things can happen in that. Gibbons can continue on his path and get lower and lower ratings and make odd decisions like, you know, appointing people out of turn when it comes to the Tourism Commission thing. If he continues to make those
kind
of
judgments.
Well,
he never, just for clarification, he never did make that appointment. It was an announcement.
It was an announcement.
And the appointment has since been, or the announcement has since been pulled back. So, I mean, just for technical.
Right. But he continues to make odd decisions. And if he continues to do that, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of Republicans who are going to go, oh, we've got to get somebody.
Well, how about on your side? I mean, we have Barbara Buckley, we have Rory Reid, potentially Oscar Goodman. Who do you see as the strongest in that field?
It would be an interesting challenge between Buckley and Reid. I don't know Oscar well enough to be able to say. Certainly somebody who is a character and as large as life as he is could be interesting in the dynamics of the competition, but I don't know. And there's some other folks who really may have an interest.
Are you willing to name names right now? Or
no.
Steve, is Oscar the wild card in the Democratic primary for governor 2010?
Yeah, for sure. But Rory Reid, if in fact he is a candidate, just brings so much to the table. Mm-hmm. that he's going to be very, very, very tough to beat on that side of the aisle.
Well, and he is much more likable than his father. So I hope our senior senator doesn't take that as an insult. And I wouldn't if I were him. Allison, this legislative session, it's going to be a, or I'm sorry, Amy, this legislative session is going to be a tough one. Do you think we're going to have a tax increase that comes out in 2009?
Oh, they'll chew on that like a dog with the bone till the very end of it. That is, you know, such an unpopular policy in this state. But I tell you what, that is going to be one heck of a session. And, you know, like we were talking about before, so there's going to be people, you know, fighting over the pennies on the table. It's going to be very challenging. It's going to be, this is where, I mean, the way that the recession has been going, there are some of us who haven't lost our houses. There are some of us who have been holding on. But when we begin to see how the states and the city governments were already seeing it begin to allocate their resources, that's when we're really going to feel this pinch. We're going to feel it hard. And they're going to have to work across the aisle to make sure that they distribute that pot as fairly as they possibly can. It's going to be really challenging to see if they can do it.
Steve, tax increase 2009.
I think some kind of a general business tax increase will probably take place. I don't see how you get 35% cut. From there to here, $2.5 billion. I have great respect for the governor, some of the governor's people, Andrew Klinger, the budget director, but I just don't see how he gets there.
And Allison, just really quick.
I have high hopes in Senator Horsford and Raggio and Assemblywomen Gansert and Buckley to really pull off what the state really needs. I really have high hopes for them.
Well, on that positive note, we'll be right back.
Right now at iMasters, get two complete pair of glasses for only $99 and two complete pair of no-line bifocals are $149. Don't forget to use or lose your vision insurance benefits. Come in now. iMasters. Why pay more?
She wanted to leave her foster home.
When I told her that, she got furious.
But they didn't want her to take any memories.
I was going to erase the pictures from the laptop that had to do anything with my family.
Why?
So they left her with a clean slate.
In addition to the pictures, my college papers and other documents, everything was deleted.
There was no harshness between us, but there is now because she deleted a portion of her life. I don't know how to rectify it. I don't know how to make it better.
Judge Judy, today at 4 on News 4.
Let your heart soar. Make plans now to join the American Heart Association for the 21st Annual Fantasy Wedding Fair. It's Sunday, January 18th at the Grand Sierra Resort. Call 322-7065 for more information or log on to renoweddingfair.com.
Would you do this to a $1,000 leather sofa? Ouch! Of course not! But accidents do happen, and we can fix them like new with Leather Mender, the amazing new leather repair kit. It'll make that ruined sofa, this damaged laptop bag, this torn leather jacket all like new again. And it's easy to do. Just fill in the damaged spot with a high-tech repair compound with perfectly matched color. Cover with the finishing patch and let dry. Leather Mender is just $19.95. But wait, there's more. Order now and we'll also include the fabric mender kit, a $20 value, yours free. It works like a charm to repair tears and cigarette burns on any kind of fabric or upholstery to just like new. Use Leather Mender for 30 days. If you're not 100% satisfied, return it for a refund. Supplies are limited. Call now.
Have your credit card ready and call 1-800-829-0717 to order the Leather Mender for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Call right now and we'll include the fabric mender for free.
If you miss any of today's show or like to catch up on past shows, you can go to NevadaNewsmakers.com or download the show on iTunes. Tomorrow we have Board of Regent Howard Rosenberg. Happy New Year, everybody.